Broadcasting from stages 2 and 4 in Burbank, California, let's go Inside Salem on NBC's Days of Our Lives podcast.
On today's show, Paul Telfer talks about playing Salem's resident bad boy, Xander, and his take on the Nicole Walker twist. Then, in two can't-miss clips, Trip walks out on Claire, and things are not as they appear when Kristen is revealed. Later, you're invited to Sal Stauer's dressing room, where she and Lamone Archie talk about life behind the scenes. That and more, starting now. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Michael Fairman. Whenever Xander is back on the Salem canvas, there is sure to be your daily dose of double-crossing, danger, plenty of snark, and blackmail. On recent episodes of Days, Xander has been revealed to be in cahoots with Ted Laurent, and in a bombshell, Nicole Walker, a.k.a. Kristen DiMera. Looks like Xander is holding the cards for many lives in Salem in the palm of his hand, or should we say, diary? For a deep dive into what's up with Xander, here's Paul Telfer. Welcome, Paul.
Hey.
So how many times now has Xander come back to the canvas? And when you leave, do you think it's the last time? Or do you think, hey, I'm coming back. I know I'm coming back.
You know, I guess that's something I should have been keeping track of. But I really...
There's a scoreboard.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I actually don't know how many episodes I've done now. If I was to look on IMDb, I don't know if that info is even accurate.
But you've come back like 5, 6...
A bunch. I mean,
more than that.
Well, it's you know, I never take any job for granted. I certainly don't take this one. They've taught me that much, at least, over the years, not to do that. But, you know, I obviously always hope. And unless they kill Xander in a way that, you know, there's like a close-up of like blood dripping out of my ear or some like properly dead death, then I assume that at some point, you know, hopefully he'll be coming back. But I've been obviously, you know, very, very happy the frequency with which they brought him back. I guess he's a useful dude to be able to drop in like a little story bomb every now and then. It's nice now to be back a bit more consistently and to, you know, just see how some of those threads play out, you know?
How much did you know about the storyline coming back this time? Did you know that he would be in cahoots with Kristen DiMera again?
No.
You just see it in a script? Like, how did
you? Yeah,
they
never
tell
me anything.
So you don't know anything.
Yeah. No, but I understand why they do that. There's a bunch of different reasons, most of which honestly just relate to the production, the way actors behave when they know what's going on. So I understand why they keep some of these things secret. But also just selfishly, it's kind of fun. It makes us the first audience, you know? Like, we are, depending on when we get the scripts, only really maybe a week ahead of the story. And I love it because the folks who deliver our scripts and know what's coming down the pipe, I just enjoy like asking them questions and trying to read the tea leaves of their facial expressions
based on how they react. Like they give you the script with a smirk or a smile.
Yeah. Like Lindsay in particular is very good and very into, you know, like poking them with leading questions.
Lindsay Godfrey.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just trying to guess, like, you know, like reading the entrails to see, you know, where things might be going.
So what has it been like to work with Ariane Zucker now as she basically plays what we're saying dual roles?
I was just actually complimenting Ari in the makeup room this morning because of what's airing now. We're actually able to see it because, you know, you read it and sometimes we're on set at the same times or I can see her in the monitor in my room, but you don't really get the full benefit until you see the episode. And, you know, I'm a vain actor, so I watch the episodes that I'm in sometimes. And so I was watching one of the episodes that I was in now that I'm airing again and just caught some of Ari's work, and I'm just loving it because, you know, she gets, it's kind of the best of both worlds, isn't it? She gets to play all of the wounded emotion, but then that little twinkle in her eye that, you know, audiences up until the reveal can choose to interpret as all sorts of things, even like an odd acting choice. But I love that, you know, she it's a real tricky thing to try and do under any circumstances, but to do it the way we do it here so quickly and also not, you know, very often, like you're asking about how we know about the stories. And
right.
So, very often you're asked essentially to jump off the diving board, not knowing if there's water in the pool, you know? And, you know, luckily Ari has, you know, been doing this for long enough that she doesn't care if there's water in the pool or not. She's going to push right through. But yeah, she's been amazing. And for me, the super fun stuff to play has been the bridging of the Kristen Nicole, Nicole Kristen stuff, because those days to shoot were just a ton of fun where, you know, there's a lot of like dress swapping and a lot of like not being able to tell who was who from behind. I have some really fun videos that I'll finally be able to post.
Oh, great. People love that.
Of them like hanging out and, you know, in the same costumes and playing with the mask and stuff. It's, I mean, I understand how certain parts of the soap audience can get a bit, you know, over all the doppelgangers and the masks and all that kind of stuff. But, and I've been here for a while now, but I still feel like a newbie. And this is my first time dealing with all this stuff. And I love it. So,
welcome to Doppelgangers R Us.
Exactly. Yes. So it's, you know, it still works for me. And I still think, you know, it's like the blues. It's the same notes, but it's how you play them. And I think this is a really fun way that they've found to do it this time.
Absolutely.
Like, it's a blast.
Does Xander have a thing for Nicole, Eve, Sarah, and or Kristen? Does he like into one of these ladies?
Yes.
So that's all four.
He likes
all the
women.
Is there one he particularly likes better than the other?
He likes all the women all and the women. None of the men. I think his thing with Nicole at this point has just gotten to it's not even romance anymore, is it? I mean, it's more of just this weird game that he likes to play. And I guess it all relates back to her just messing around with him a little bit too much when he first came on the scene. And I think at this point he's beyond like trying to, I've tried to torture her, I've tried to kill her multiple times, married her, I've done all kinds of nefarious things. I mean, marrying her was probably the worst thing he did in a lot of ways, you know, just out of sheer cruelty. I would say though, the only really healthy romantic situation, or the closest he's come to a healthy romantic situation, has been with Sarah.
Really? Because didn't he blackball, or didn't he, how did they get into bed? Remember?
Well, they were both drunk, but it was all very, you know, there was no, he didn't blackmail her, he didn't trick her.
You're right, he just got drunk.
Like, he just really fancied her and she fancied him, and it, you know, it was a moment of weakness for her probably, but he was very happy. And so I'm very interested to see how fans react to when Xander and Sarah start sharing scenes together again, because, you know, they're clearly in very different places in their lives. And, you know, for the longest time, Xander's been Pepe Le Pew. You know, like, he loves all the girls, but all the girls run away screaming. And it's just interesting because Sarah can't quite bring herself to run away screaming. So we'll see what happens.
Interesting. And what about Eve? Because there was that little scene with the diary when, you know, it looked like they were going to have something and he's got the diary, wrestles away from her. And I'm like, are these two going to bonk?
I mean, well, sure. I mean, look, he's a single bachelor, man about town. If he finds himself in a wrestling match with a beautiful woman over a diary, if things escalate from there, who can blame him? You know, I don't know that he would seek Eve out necessarily as a romantic partner, but, you know, any port in a storm.
And Kristen, what's the deal with Kristen?
Well, I actually think that I love the Xander Kristen dynamic, because I think it's the first time. You know, like, Nicole's formidable, Teresa's formidable in her way, but Kristen is straight up crazier and scarier than Xander. And I think it's his first time really being around women like that. And
he likes it.
Oh, yeah.
He's into it.
Who wouldn't? I think despite himself, like, you know, he would love to see himself as, you know, stronger and able to, you know, outmaneuver Kristen. But, you know, she has that extra secret source of just, you know, how sexy and dangerous she is. So, you know.
Now that Xander's basically maneuvered himself at Titan, you know how he always gets into Titan and he wants to take hold of the company and then the floor falls out.
Sure.
Do you think he'll get away with it more this time, or everything else usually falls apart for him?
I hope so.
He's like bumbling at certain points.
I mean, I hope so, only because I actually think there's a relatively good chance that he would be decent at the job, just because, you know, I don't know if you ever read those studies about, you know, how CEOs are often, well, how psychopaths are often suited to be CEOs. And, you know, Victor himself is incredibly ruthless, you know, and it just seems like a decent fit that somebody as ambitious and aggressive as Xander might make a good CEO of a big business, assuming that he can keep himself out of jail for 5 minutes.
But he has no knowledge of how to really run a business. Does he have any?
Well, I would argue that there's people in massive executive power right now that have no real understanding of how those things work either.
Good point.
A good chunk of the country seems A-okay with it. So who knows?
Touche. What did you think of the story turn where he's really making everyone believe that baby Holly is dead? I mean, you can't really come back. That's pretty horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
That's a horrific, horrible plot that they've concocted. Do you think he can really, I guess there's no going back from that one, or is there?
Well, you just got to throw it on the pile of misdeeds, haven't you? Like, at a certain point, like, does it really make him seem more evil? Or are we already at this, like, base level of evil? And then, it depends on how that story really plays out and who's privy to all the information. Maybe there's a certain way of presenting what happens next that might make Xander look actually quite heroic. Who knows?
Oh, yes. Let's see. Interesting. Now, there's that little nugget that Xander has Dr. Rolfe's diary with the formula that could be analyzed to save Will's life and to restore Jack's memory.
Right.
So they loaded you up with goodies, these writers, like, you've got this diary, you've got the secret of the baby, you've got all this stuff. Were you like, oh my God, what is going on? Like,
it's definitely nice to have a little bit of power for a change. And part of it is you can't help but when you're given these, like, they're just props, obviously, but they have massive story potential. You can't help but wonder how they're going to be played and how you would play them versus how the character would play them and how you hope the writers have chosen to have the character play them. What's fun about it for me is, and I think what I hope at least the audience will enjoy, is watching Xander struggle with occasionally realizing that sometimes doing the right thing can also benefit him, as opposed to only operating out of malice and vengeance and bitterness, that there might be opportunities to do good things that benefit him. And maybe he gets a taste for that. That doesn't necessarily mean he's a good person just because he's learned to do good things for his own benefit. But still, is it good to do good things for bad reasons? Certainly better than doing bad things for bad reasons. So, it's in its own little way, it's progress for him.
I guess this is the hard-hitting question. What is your per capita each week of shirtless scenes versus fully clothed scenes? I think that's what the audience wants to know. Do you know, like, is it, have you figured out the ratio?
I've never quite worked out if it's just like a thing that they spin, if they have like this like dice and it's got like,
today's
well, it's got, my face and Lamone's face and Rob's face and, and they just like roll the dice. Oh, Rob's shirtless today. And then they roll another dice. Oh, he's shirtless in prison or he's shirtless in, in the mansion.
It's always ambiguous scenes that make no sense why he'd be shirtless. Right. Okay.
I remember getting we get changey. This show is very good about getting us the scripts early.
Right.
But every now and then you'll get a change the night before. And quite early on, I think it was on one of my like second or third visits when I was back to recurring. And I'm just getting a change. Oh God, they've changed the lines. I better look. And there was no changes to the dialogue. And I missed what it was. And then sure enough, it was specifically, it was literally that line. Xander. And then the edit, fresh from shower. Like, and I think that was one of my first like big towel scenes or whatever, but
All right, Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stick around for some Can't Miss clips.
Certainly.
Okay, here we go. Here's your Can't Miss clip for the week of May 13th. At the 11th hour, Haley learns that the judge has ruled in favor of her deportation. Trip learns that Eve used a recording of him and Claire to blackmail Haley. He questions how he was recorded in private and confronts Claire. He asks her point blank if she gave Eve the recording. Claire backpedals but gets caught and admits her betrayal. Trip rips into her and ends their relationship. And here's what happened next.
I always thought that you could be selfish and petty, but deep down I thought you had a good heart.
I do, Trip. I'm a good person,
no,
I swear.
No, you are not. You most certainly are not.
Please don't say that. Please don't say that. Okay, look, I can admit I made a huge mistake. Okay? But come on, I did it because I love you. And I want to be with you. Please, Trip, we can work this through. I know we can. Just give me one more chance, please.
Justin needs to talk to me. And it's probably about Haley's deportation. So
please, no, don't go. Don't go, please. We can work this through. I know we can. No, just no, please.
I can't even stand the sight of you right
now. No, don't go, please. Trip, I love you. Oh, no.
This way, please. Time to get to the airport.
What? No, right now?
Yeah.
I don't have my things. Justin was supposed to bring me my stuff, and I still need my money from my sister.
They can meet us at the airport.
Wait, are you serious? You can't wait a few minutes.
She has a flight to catch. Time to go.
Wait. You can't deport her.
Enough grandstanding. It's too late to help your sister.
She's not my sister. She's my daughter.
What?
Do you remember? Did you see Chinatown?
Of course.
Doesn't you? My sister, my lover. This is so Chinatown.
Yeah.
There was speculation that Melinda was going to turn out to be Haley's mother. Did you know about this? Yes,
you
no.
can't help but extrapolate down the line of possibilities of, you know, I mean, usually what I will do is assume that the exact opposite of whatever the premise that we're constantly repeating and reaffirming
to
the audience,
yes, very good,
is probably wrong. And so I'll look for, you know, so sorry, the what we're saying is probably wrong, and the exact opposite has a good chance of being true, but not for like a month or 2 months or 3 months. But again, it's that whole like diving into the pool, not knowing if there's water in there. But you always hope it's going to be the most, you know, insane, like, twist.
Well, the other thing is Claire is such a schemer. I feel like her and Xander would get along fine. Have Claire and Xander not had a talk about...
I kidnapped her one time,
would he have given her any advice of how to, like, you know, get out of this?
Well, I mean, I imagine...
Not get caught.
I was going to say, like, not get caught, not actually fall in love, but, you know...
Yes.
I mean, what is love to a psycho, you know, or to a sociopath? You know, who can say? Who knows the heart of a villain? But no, I guess my advice to her would be to not get so hung up on one person. There's always another fish in the Salem River or whatever.
You heard it here, yeah. From Paul Telfer.
Here's your can't miss clip for the week of May 20th. So after Holly's funeral, a not so distraught Nicole kisses Brady, and she encourages him to forget about the past and focus on them as a couple. But Brady won't cross Eric and rejects her advances, sending Nicole into a fit of rage. When Xander returns from changing Holly's autopsy report, Nicole announces the only man she wants is Brady Black. So Xander questions, how's she going to make it happen? And all is revealed. Take a listen.
You kissed Brady. Isn't that moving a skosh fast?
Well, I had to make my move at some point.
But on the day of your daughter's funeral, though.
Excuse me, but I was vulnerable and sweet and oh so sad. Catnip to men like Brady who live for protecting the ones they love.
But he doesn't love you.
Oh, shut up. This plan is about one thing and one thing only, Brady. These weak, pathetic fools have no idea what's going on. Ah, if they only knew. People in this town hold grudges like nobody's business. Being Nicole is the only way I could ever come back.
You've played the part brilliantly. Sometimes I even forget that the part of Nicole Walker is currently being played by none other than the one and only Kristen DiMera.
First of all, so nobody notices this little, like...
Well, they've made little references to it, I think. They've made little, yeah, like, you know, her body is scarred and burned. Yeah. And, you know, and she's wearing, like, high neck things and whatever. Yes. And don't touch me and, you know, that... You know,
and the voice change
There's
I'd like to know
clearly very good science reasons how they pulled that off.
Did Xander figure out a voice alternator that we don't know about?
I'm pretty sure we do refer to, like, there is like a thing as part of the map. But, and also I love it. There's like there's little hints that Dr. Rolf, it's not just science, that there's some like spooky stuff going on there as well. So like, I think there's a moment where I touch the mask and I'm like, because it's not plastic or latex. It's some, weird, some other matter. So yeah.
It was shocking. I think the fans are going to be shock-a-rood.
I love it.
Well, they were shock-a-rood, yeah. I should say.
I hope so. I mean, I'm sure there's some of them that have already worked it out, but you don't really work stuff out. You just guess correctly. Like,
do you know what I mean? So when you were doing that scene, did you what was it like doing that scene? You saw what happened? You guys just kind of...
They just did a very... I mean, I'm really happy with the way it edited it together. Great. Because, you know, we don't really edit on this show. It's all done pretty much in camera. And, yeah, I thought it was pretty satisfying, the reveal of it. Look, the main thing was they did it properly. They did a full latex like rendering with the whole, you know, shit. Ari and Stacey had to go in and get their faces molded so the outside would fit and the inside would fit and the whole thing. And it's really, like, by now, hopefully, we can start, you know, sharing some of the pictures and stuff. But the mask is really well done. And, you know, we all played with it. Everybody had to try it on.
Do you have a photo with you?
I don't
you?
Know if I've got a picture of me with it, but I've definitely got one with Stacey and Ariane swapping it and playing around. And also just all the Silence of the Lambs gags and just, you know, Mission Impossible. And, you know, it's just good stuff.
All right, Paul, thanks so much for dropping by today. Me. And if you want to catch Paul on all new episodes of Days of Our Lives, check them out streaming at NBC.com or the NBC app.
Part 2 of Inside Salem Days of Our Lives podcast will return in a moment. Subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcasts. We now return to Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast, to take a look behind the scenes.
Hey guys, welcome to my room. My name is Sal Stowers. I play Lonnie Price here on Days. We are here in my dressing room, and this space is very... Well, first off, let me say this was not my original dressing room. I moved into this dressing room last year after Miss Marcy Miller left. She is one of my best friends, and I wanted to kind of still her energy or fill her energy. So I moved into this space. I was actually two rooms down. She's just a really dear person, and I love filling her in this room. So another really cool thing in my room is on my mirror, I have a whole bunch of like encouraging words. Part of it is from Marcy Miller. There are a few things that she left on the mirror that I decided to keep because it's just helpful as an artist. She wrote things like freedom, courage, listen, empathy, intimacy. And then I wrote on there, you have to know that you're enough, because this industry that we're in is very challenging. And there's so many other actors and actresses and just the competition, like you got to know your worth and you got to know that you're enough and believe in yourself with this. So any type of words of encouragement, it is in my room. I have gratitude. Preparation is key. Tell the story truthful and present. Power, awaken the queen within, because I'm a effing queen. I almost said it. But yeah, that's just some little special things that I have in my room. Who is it?
It's Lamone.
Oh, shoot, guys. We got Lamone in the building. What, what, what?
Yeah.
Welcome to my dressing room crib. Remember cribs?
I do remember cribs. I wish I had some of the stuff they got in their house.
And same. And the refrigerators.
I'm working on that.
Me too. Okay, Lamone. So... We work together a lot, so I kind of know how your process is, but go ahead and go over it and explain it and tell me some things I don't know about your process and what you do with the work.
Well, when I first started, I would always take about 3 episodes and I would try to memorize about 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. So I was far enough in advance where I knew my lines. And then as time went on and more work came, I found that it was just too much to keep.
It's hard.
It was just too much to keep in my brain. So now I kind of take it one day at a time. Mm-hmm. I'll bring in tomorrow's episode with me to work. And when I get the schedule, I'll put it in order. And then I'll kind of take a look at it during the day. And then when I get home is when I'll memorize the episode. And then, it's so weird. If I read the lines before I go to bed, they seem to stick more when I wake up. It's like, it's same. Weird. It's,
yeah.
I don't know.
Same. I even sometimes put my sides or my script under my pillow.
I
don't know. It just kind of.
I heard about that.
It helps for some reason. Like I'll read it before I go to bed.
It's telepathic. And then
I'll just put it under my pillow and I'll sleep with it. I'll just cuddle it.
Oh my God.
And then I remember it in the morning.
Your man has to be looking at you like you're nuts.
He does. He does. But he also helps me a lot too. So
good.
You know.
Good. Yeah. That seems to be working for me best. And well, hopefully it continues. I mean, you never know. There's always specific lines and things that just don't stick.
Yeah. There's always that one word or something.
And we always talk about how like I'll listen to something that there'll be a line that I have. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, like I cannot memorize this line. And I'll say the line to you. I'll be like, this is a line. You'll be like, that's the easiest thing to memorize.
Yeah.
And vice versa. It's like, things for me won't stick and you'll think they're the easiest thing and I'll listen to you and be like, you can't memorize that line? It's the easiest. I don't know. It's weird, but
we all have
it's
it.
It's life.
Though. Yeah, we all have it.
Sal, can you tell me about working with baby David and also how you felt about working with a doll and pretending that it was a real baby?
So the twins that play David, as you know, I'm obsessed with them. Mm-hmm. They are just the most eatable little babies you will ever meet. They are so gorgeous. They are so easy to work with. From the first day we got to work with them, they were just so easy and so just loving towards us or
happy.
Me and happy. Yes, yeah. Smiley, very just... They just lit up the room. So I personally love working with infants. Like I've never had a bad experience with them. I do prefer working with the live babies, the real actual thing. The little dolls are
ugly.
They're scary. Ours is so scary. Like I don't want to look at that thing. And then it just doesn't give you that same feeling, you know, of actually having a real live child in your arms. It just doesn't, you know, give you that feeling that you need. So I want to work with a real baby.
You're supposed to be sitting there looking at a baby like it's the cutest thing in the world. And you're just looking at this ugly
doll. And you're looking
doll,
at this Chucky doll.
One eye's like half closed, tongue sticking out. And you're like, oh my God, are you okay, baby? You're so cute. No.
Did I show you the video of the twins watching us on TV?
No, you didn't.
Oh my God, I have to show it to you. Oh, so yeah, their mom sent me a video. They're like in their little playpen and we're on the screen. We're on, the show is on. And they both walk up to the TV. They recognize themselves on there. They see us and they just start smiling and laughing. It's the cutest thing.
You know what also I think is pretty dope too is that when we first started working with the twins, mm-hmm. I think they were just learning to crawl. Right?
Yeah.
And then now they're striking through the halls.
They are moving.
Striking through. I remember last time I saw them, they were moving. I was like, it's just crazy how time flies.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, well, babies, they grow and everything happens so fast. But being that we have so much going on here, once they're not here, mm-hmm. we kind of zone off and start working on other things mm-hmm. that when they come back, it's crazy to see how time has really flown by.
Right, because they were small when they first got on the show. And so now it's like, oh, okay. Wow, you guys are big boys.
So I know you came from All My Children.
Yes, Rob and I both did. Yeah, we
Robin.
Worked together.
Yeah.
Worked together on All My Children.
What would you say are some of the things that are different from working on All My Children and Days of Our Lives?
Oh boy, a lot is different actually. Well, I was on All My Children when it went into the reboot on Hulu. So it was like All My Children 2.0. Mm-hmm. And we were filming on the East Coast and we were also sharing the same production with One Life to Live. So we worked 5 weeks on, 5 weeks off. And so we were basically bi-coastal. So when we're not shooting, we're back here in LA. When we're shooting, we're on the East Coast. But it was just, I mean, I loved Cassandra. I loved my story over there. She was younger, but first off, let me just say, I got to work with Debbie Morgan and Darnell Williams, who are pretty much soap veterans. They are the most amazing people you will ever meet. And to get to play their daughter was just so humbling and just so wonderful. It was such a great experience for me. They were amazing. Have you ever met them?
Here's a fun fact. Darnell actually played my uncle when I was on Young and Restless.
What? Yeah, really? So wait,
he played your what?
He was my dad.
He played your dad. So what would that make us?
Your uncle. I guess just cousins?
Cousins? All right. I don't know. Listen, that's like math.
I'm like, wait, what?
I'd be here all day trying to figure that out. I don't know.
I guess just family.
We family.
But yeah, that was one thing that I really do take away from that experience. Oh, and also, you know, Sonia, one of our directors, she was our EP over there. So that's pretty cool too. It was like a lot of, you know, Rob and her like coming over here. So that was nice. Yeah.
Okay. So for anybody listening, if y'all want to do the research, and I don't know if you saw it, but around the time where you had booked that job, I had tweeted you congratulations or something like that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's in my feed somewhere way down there. But I don't know if you saw it. I don't remember so long ago. But I had congratulated
you. Now I'm going to be looking for it. Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. I'm going to go try to find it. I did not know you were on this show as a, like with Hope and Bo.
I was on the show two times.
I did not know that.
I played a cop on this show and I
was your name arrested. The same?
No, I think it was like officer.
Oh.
I was U5.
U5.
I don't even know about her name. And another time I played it was New Dad.
Okay.
And if I'm correct, it was a scene that I had with Chandler Massey.
Oh,
when he and Gabby had just given birth to their baby, Ari, and he was outside, maybe in the Horton Square or something or wherever, and he was, I don't know if he had the baby yet or the baby was just born, and I had just, I was outside with my newborn baby, and he said something to me and maybe asked me a couple questions about how it was being a new dad. And I just gave him my little 2 cents on it and strolled off. I actually never saw it.
We're going to find that episode. We're going to find it.
Yeah,
so we got to find the tweet and the dad episode. Okay. So Y&R, how was that for you? How long were you on it? Any favorite memories there?
I think I was on Y&R for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I was reoccurring over there. I played a bad character, which is kind of fun. It was some, you know, really great people over there that I got to work with. I had some scenes with Christoph.
Oh,
great dude. You know, and the cast and everybody was so cool over there. I do think that here we work a lot faster.
Yeah, same.
over there at Y&R, and I think maybe they're like, I could be wrong. Maybe they're like a month or so ahead, and who knows how many months
we're so far right ahead. how do we know each other?
I always thought we met through Abraham McDonald, who was my manager. He's the one that got me into modeling, and I thought that's how we met.
No, I thought it was either through LA Models or NTA. No?
Could have been. I don't know. I think we just all of a sudden knew each other.
we just knew each other. Like, I know you, you know me, that's it. We just knew each other.
Yeah.
And now it's been like 20,000 years.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
we're getting old together. But no, it's great. And I like the, you know, the friendship and everything that we've grown to have and the relationship that our characters have. I think it's really special. And I enjoy working with you.
I'm glad I know you, Sal.
Oh, shucks. Let me give you a hug.
We're hugging.
We're hugging right now, guys. No, I do. I really do appreciate you, and I love you dearly. And I'm glad to be on this journey with you.
Again, thank you for letting me in your room.
Yes. Enough with the gushy stuff, guys. Yeah. We're gonna get upstairs to Salem now. But thank you for checking out the podcast. And
gracias.
Keep supporting Inside Salem Days of Our Lives podcast. Tweet us, love us, all that good stuff.
All that.
We love you guys.
Coming up on Days of Our Lives, Will lashes out at Ted and Hope.
You do realize that he framed Sonny and me for murder, right?
Ben shares his suspicions with Sierra.
Claire may be impulsive and insecure, but she would never try to kill anyone, Ben, especially me.
John makes an emotional appeal to Eve to help Will.
Finding that diary, that's a matter of life and death.
Eric tries to get through to Nicole.
I don't care about your feelings or you. I just want you to get the hell out of my life.
Days of Our Lives, stream anytime on NBC.com or the NBC app.
This has been Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast. Subscribe on all major podcasting platforms. Follow the show at NBC Days. Theme music by Tom Boyce and Bobby Hart. Produced by Grant Rutter and Michael Fairman. Edited by Trey Booty. This is Melissa Reeves. Join us again for another episode of Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast.